such kinetic energy going into that game. Well, now Matt Nagy and the Bears are going to feel every single bit of it.
Be tense.
You had a city yesterday that felt like a Super Bowl city. And what you put on display for them and the national audience was ridiculous offensively. Defensively, those guys balled out. They played great.
I was booing at home.
You should have been. You should have been. And people who were watching at Soldier Field should have been booing as well.
They were. They were. You heard it at the end of the half. You heard there were multiple occasions where it was getting pretty loud, and I was right there with them because that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable after 7 months and a lot of highfalutin words about what this was going to be and how it was going to be, what it was going to be. And we don't, you got to trust us that we see what's going on in practice. Well, we're doing this against the Bears defense, so iron sharpens iron, whatever.
Well, the other thing was, is that if you watched practice, the Bears defense was miles ahead of the Bears offense. And granted, they're the best defense in the league, but there were already some stuff where you're like, is this real? Like, does this matter? Does this matter that they're ahead? And apparently the answer is yes. So I'm going to spend 2 hours talking about it. And I don't ordinarily take phone calls, but we are going to do that today.
Oh, yeah.
We are going. Fun. I know. I heard some of you guys. Enjoy yourself. All the Daves.
Yeah, we have the run of Daves run of there. Daves,
yep.
The guys are like, I want to ask you guys a question. Here's a statement.
Oh, that was the guy being attacked by birds in the Everglades.
Yeah, well, he was attacked by birds.
He never answered that question. Right. Nope. You guys asked him about the bird sanctuary that he was apparently living in.
Yeah, wait, you are being attacked by birds?
Should we call someone?
Have fun today, Lawrence.
Later, Thank you, man. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Honda CRV. Search ContinentalHonda.com for the continental difference. Tony, let's go.
Gotta love preseason football.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Before we move on to other things, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about why you're hyped.
Oh, man, Lawrence. Football is back. I'm excited that football is back.
But there was something that put you over the top, though, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the Bears hype video. And, oh, man, if you haven't seen this thing, it is amazing. If you aren't in a football mood yet, you're at work or whatever, go to that video and watch it, please.
Tony, I just want to know, you're so hyped about the Bears and the season.
That's right.
On 670thescore.com, who did you pick to win this game?
Oh, I picked the Packers there.
And the Green Bay Packers come in, upset the Bears, and go home for 5 of their next 6.
Yep, because that's the most Tony thing to do ever, is to pick the Packers.
Because any logic that he just presented about being
hyped. It's the most Tony thing ever to do.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Damn it, if Tony wasn't right. That's right. Our Bears conversation is brought to you by the Ford F-150 and your local Ford dealers, the official truck of your Chicago Bears. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're going to hear from Mark Grody, who is up at Hallis Hall. We're going to break format a little bit, too, here to start things off. Ordinarily, we do the rundown. But Matt Nagy is scheduled to speak, and we're going to try and carry that live when he does. So, Tony, just give me the heads up, and then we can take what the head coach has to say and hear after he's now gone over the tape, I imagine, on what he saw. We'll see what he tries to make better and what things that he looked at and said, no, it was as bad as we thought it was last night. I'm not here to rant and rave today, but I will tell you that those guys looked offensively. I need to be very clear about that. When we talk about the Bears today, we need to be very clear that we are talking about the Bears offense. That this entire discussion about the dysfunction and the lack of organization has to do with the Bears offense. The Bears defense looked incredible yesterday. When you hold Aaron Rodgers to 213 yards and 10 points, you're supposed to win, period. You're supposed to win. Shout out to the Packers punter, by the way, because He was a major weapon for them last night. Major weapon. You can salute him. That guy put them in great positions yesterday from a defensive standpoint. So I said the Packers punter, and Campy like jumped out of his chair. Why?
You know where he went to college.
Is he an NIU guy?
No.
Illinois?
Bama.
Oh, that's right. He is a Bama guy. Roll Tide. Roll damn Tide. That's
Roll damn Tide,
where,
baby.
Where legends are made. That's what we do down at the University of Alabama. So yesterday looked like a completely disorganized Bears offense.
It was offensively offensive.
It was hard to watch because you're expecting them to, and maybe we shouldn't have, if you take a look back at the way the last six games of the season went last year. A lot of this is carryover. If we're being honest about this, with there not being that many new pieces, there's some carryover to what the Bears did offensively last year at the end of the season that plays right into what they looked like last night. Bears head coach Matt Nagy is now stepping to the podium. We're going to take it live, brought to you by the Ford F-150 and your local Ford dealers.
With a strong-legged...
All right, as far...
Don't tell me that the line's cutting out. People can't hear them. So we're good or no? Take it? All right, yeah, here's Matt Nagy.
All right, as far as injuries from yesterday, we got out pretty clean, which is a good thing. But again, just getting back, being able to watch the game, it's everything that we felt and that I felt post-game yesterday. I was really happy with the defense. I thought they had a great game. A lot of really good things that went on in the game. And it's too bad that we let that get by with a performance like that by our defense. Special teams play well. Offensively, it was what I thought it was. It wasn't good enough. Too many mental mistakes that we just typically don't make. And I think we're going to, you know, these guys got to understand, and we as coaches need to understand that it's our job to fix that. And I think that's why Ryan and I like to bring in high character people, so that when times like this happen, we're able to fix it.
Matt, just to clarify something from last night, why specifically was 51 too big of a number to kick in that moment in the third quarter?
Just because that's the exact number that, not the exact number, but that was past the exact number that we talked about for that depth. So we could have, you could do it, but I just didn't want to break our rule of saying, you know, where we're at. The other part of it too was we weren't down there very often. So I was to myself. I was feeling like, you know what, we have an opportunity here to get one and to get a touchdown and put us up rather than put us down one.
What's your level of concern that 51 is too big in an early September game with a strong-legged kicker?
Yeah, no. Well, I think that's a real legit question for sure. He hit a 53 earlier. I think it was going the other way, and it was a little windy, and so going that way, we knew going that direction that it just was going to be close. And if he doesn't get it, now they get the ball almost, you know, not quite midfield, but that flip of the field. I felt like the percentages were better for us to go for it and get it. And then if we didn't get it, the defense is up with them having the ball there instead. So it's just a decision I made.
Right before that, you had the play down Allen Robinson down the right sideline where he got pushed out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Delay a game.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any frustration that kind of led to you wanting to go for it there on 4th and 10?
No, I can't let that happen. The frustration part. If I do that, then that's being selfish, and that's again. Hopefully one of these times it'll turn around for us and we win a game and you'll say, wow, you know what, that was a good decision that you didn't kick the field goal. I understand why the questions are being asked. I get it. But that's, I have to stay true to that. Now, are there going to be times in a situation where that field goal makes you go up 9-7 or 10-7, you know, it's a tie game, but to go 7-6, you know, That to me was the point where I just felt like I felt more aggressive to go for it.
Man, last year, the Trubisky and the starters played 40 to 50 snaps in the preseason, and you started out really well against the Packers in the first two possessions. This year they didn't play any, and it was a little discombobulated. What in your mind invalidates that as evidence that Russ was a factor last night?
No, I for our guys, I mean, the first play of the game, the bobbled snap with 29, if that has anything to do with him not playing preseason, then I'd be shocked. I mean, that thing, we hold on to that ball, that might be down the sideline for 40 yards. It was blocked up like a gem. And so we didn't, and that's just how it goes. So it could have flipped what you just asked me about that for the series coming out and doing well. We didn't. So, you know, we ended up getting a penalty on that play, got 5 yards, and got to start over. I don't think it affects anything personally.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy speaking to the media live here on The Score.
86 yards and 10 plays.
Yeah.
And then this year it was in general just not as good. What about that?
Well, there's factors that go into that. Last year we were completely brand new in a lot of different ways. There was the unexpected part of last year as well. So there was that this year too. I'm not saying there wasn't. But I think every year is just a little bit different. It's easy for when I go ahead and make that decision to not play in the preseason like we did, I open myself to criticism for when you don't play well. I get that. So that's a fair question.
When you went back and watched the tape, what else did you learn about your night, whether it was play calling?
Yeah, no, it wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough. And I told the players that. I told them that last night in the locker room, that it starts with me. I need to be better, and I will be better. And I'm going to demand that from myself, from our coaches, and from our players. And then you got to, I think, good coaches figure out the why part. They don't just get all angry, upset, start pointing fingers, or frustrated. It was, you know, last night was tough. And I'm not talking about right after the game. I'm talking the whole night, and even this morning. You still feel it. But there's a. Just, I have this competitiveness in me that I'm not going to let that take away the way I'm going to attack this next week. I'm going to use this to make me a better coach, and we're going to use it as a team. So it's I need to be better. There's no doubt about it.
Can you give a little more explanation as far as what you need to be better at? I know you don't want to circuit into individual players.
Right.
Can you just clarify a little bit what you mean?
I think probably just a lot more of just communication-wise on the sideline during plays, that sort of thing. And a lot of it isn't so much of what's going on maybe during that play or the next play, but maybe a little bit more of just how we go about doing things with the game plan. You know,
interception Mitch threw. He was self-critical of the way his eyes and his eye mm-hmm. affected the outcome there.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see from that element of the play? And then how else would you diagnose the decision to throw it and the throw itself?
Well, yeah, in that situation, I think he's seeing it right. You know, his eye, meaning that it was a look there where he was thrown in a corner route, and there was the nickel fell off late when he went to throw it. So he was trusting him one-on-one with Amos, but the nickel 38 fell off late and ended up like a double coverage force throw. So those are one of those ones right after you let it go, you want it back. And we're going to continue to just keep working with his eyes, making sure that he's going to where my eyes are going during the game. And then also, too, you know, in that situation, they're playing soft and off, and they're letting you dink and dunk underneath. And so that's a learning tool for him.
Did you consider challenging the net play?
It looked like there was some contact.
Which one?
The potential pass interference on the interception. On Robinson there in the corner.
For the touchdown?
On the interception, yes.
No, I didn't. I did not. Should I have? Oh, really? They're not going to overturn things if it's it needs to be clear and obvious.
But what do you guys need to get the run game going better?
Yeah, we need to that's a big what we got. I mean, I said it last night. We didn't run the ball enough last night. And so however we end up doing that, we need to, as coaches, figure that out. And I think it was just a really, really, for me, I've never been a part of a game like that. It was a weird game, no rhythm. When you get positive plays, I mean, there was a 3rd and 40. We had three straight. We had a hold, a DPI, a hold, a hands to the face, and an OPI back to back to back. It's 3rd and 40 after some nice plays, and then you get another, and then it's the delay of games and the issues with that. No rhythm, and so I think for us. In any offense, you got to be able to get that run game established so it opens up other things, and we know we need to be better there.
I realize when you're calling plays, you're probably not paying attention to, like, oh, this guy's got this many carries, this many, he's got this many, or targets or whatever. But at any point in the game, do you realize, like, Tariq Cohen?
Yeah. He had one, and then there was a penalty, but that's not near enough. You know, he needs to get more as well. So we have some guys, and same with Montgomery and with Mike Davis. Again, when you know you hand the ball off 15 times in 65 plays, that's not enough balance. It's one dimensional, and even with it being, it was a 7-3 game, and I knew that. I was aware of that. But we'll figure this thing out. We'll get it right.
You talked about the
appeal for you putting Patterson in the backfield on the 31. Is it because he's got a better chance of getting the yard than your other running backs? Is it to give the illusion that you might be throwing?
So we could have had Walter Payton back there, and he wasn't getting anything. It wouldn't have mattered. But with that said, that's part of the beauty of what he does. So he's able to do that. And anybody that watches the way he's run in other scenarios like that, he's done some damage back there. And so there's going to be times if he gets it, it's a beautiful play call. You know what I mean? But it wouldn't have mattered even if it doesn't matter.
How would you characterize your blocking, or your run blocking last night?
The run blocking last night? I think that after those guys watched the tape, you know, I think that they'll see that, and it's not just run blocking. There was a lot more passes too, you know. But in general, I think our offensive line holds themselves to higher standards.
You had David Montgomery. He had 36% of the offensive reps, just over a third of the time. Is that about what you would have ballparked going into that, or was that something you wanted to get in more involved?
I didn't really know exactly going into it. Again, this is all kind of new to us with this, but we liked what he did. We liked what he did since we've seen him here with us, and I think we'll kind of feel it out. You'd like to probably – I mean, you saw when he got the ball, he does some nice things. And, again, it's just like a shooter in basketball. You know, they want to shoot the ball and get in rhythm, get some foul shots if they're cold early on, and get some free throws. It's the same thing. Like, I got to keep that in mind with these guys and keep them going. And there's a lot to balance. And when you have different players at different positions, when you have multiple guys, there is a little bit of a weight to that.
On the third and one.
Back to the delay of game that Adam asked you about.
Yeah.
The shot to Robinson. What caused that? What caused that to be out of sync there?
Yeah, it's we have some unique personnels, and I think that's kind of the there's pros and cons to it. That would be the con part. So when you have a personnel grouping that's a little bit different that you're trying to get to, or if there's a guy that's cramping, you know, we had some cramps last night, and the communication of after a play where there's a questionable call, is he in bounds, is he out of bounds? And that one was pretty clear that he was out of bounds. That can happen, and so we can't let that happen.
If you didn't have that penalty and you were at 46, was that number comfortable for you to try the field
goal? A 46-yard field goal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You mentioned with the 4th and 10 that the percentages told you can kind of take that. When you look at that percentage, because the lead percentage on 4th and 10 is pretty low.
Yeah.
Is that specific to the play call and what you're seeing?
Do we like the play call? Where are we at in the game? And then what's my gut feel on that versus the 51-yard field goal to put you up, to put you to 7-6?
And then just, I'm sorry to go back on that.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, when you establish the number for
yeah.
me, is that Chris telling you that?
Yeah.
Is that Chris and Eddie? Is that a collaborative?
No, that's Chris. Yeah, and it's not throwing blame on him. That's just what he does, and then that's what we go by. Is there ever any gray in that when you get to a point to where it can win you a game, or you get to a point where you know, it's a game-winning field goal? Yeah, there absolutely is. Then that's my decision. But we try to stick by it. You guys have seen it's happened a few times now, even in the preseason. We're trying to stick by that. And just to make it clear, that's not some number that he just puts his finger down on a piece of paper and says, let's go at this number. That's off of what he did in pregame.
I mean, you mentioned the 3rd and 1s a couple times. We talked about the Cordero, but the one that Mitch ended up looking for, Shaheen, he said he wanted to give it. The line of scrimmage looked like it got reestablished on the right side. What did you think of Mitch's decisions on that? Should he have given it there? Did you like him run?
I think if after Mitch watches it, I think he'd tell you that he'd like to give it. You know, but you know, it is what it is.
Back to Mitch, he was as down as I'd probably seen him, at least in my opinion, after a game in 3 years. Mm. How much will you be monitoring his confidence here over the next few days?
Yeah, he'll be fine because that's our job to make sure that he stays up. We're all down right now. You know, that was a game where you know, there was a lot of hype to it. It's a very meaningful game. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we understand that it is week one. So if he is down, it's okay. I'd rather him be down than be happy, right? So he's down, and so we will look at this game. We'll go through the why parts of how he can get better and how we can get better, right? Everywhere on offense, because we need to be better on offense. And then once we do.